It is Monday, March 18th. I'm Scott Seidenberg.
And I'm AJ Hoffman.
The brackets are out.
And who's got a gripe?
Here comes the Vegas truth.
This is Straight Outta Vegas.
We are Straight Out of Vegas AM, your daily destination for sports conversation with a Vegas lean. Here's what you need to know to start your day.
It's Monday after brackets, Scott. We might as well not play around about what the Vegas lead is. I think we all know. The tournament is set, and we've got the 68. The field of 68 has been set, my friend.
Yes, the number one seeds, UConn in the East, Houston in the South, Purdue in the Midwest, North Carolina in the West. Your two seeds.
No shocks.
No shocks there. The two seeds, Iowa State in the East, Marquette in the South. You have Tennessee in the Midwest and Arizona in the West. The play-in games, although I know you're not supposed to call them that anymore.
The first four.
Yeah. Remember that one year where they tried to call it the first round and then they called the first round the second round?
That's a disaster.
Such nonsense. But here's what your first four looks like. Wagner will play Howard. This is coming up tomorrow night, Tuesday night. So we'll go over these games tomorrow. But Wagner plays Howard for the 16th seed in the West. Colorado State against Virginia for the 10th seed in the Midwest. And then coming up on Wednesday, it'll be Grambling against Montana State for the 16th seed in the Midwest and Colorado against Boise State for the 10th seed in the South. First reactions, AJ, when you saw the bracket being unveiled, you found out the number one seeds, you saw the number two seeds, you saw the pairings of teams put in each region. What was your first reaction?
My first thought was, like, we talked about it for a couple weeks, or maybe at least a week now, that it was a three-horse race for the last one seed, and it was North Carolina, Arizona, and Tennessee. And all three of those teams, not one of them won their conference tournament. And I think Iowa State winning the Big 12 gave them, you know, a reasonable, you know, a resume that may have warranted them getting that last one seed. Not only did they not get the last one seed, they were the two seed that got put in the same bracket as UConn, which meant they were the last two seed. So Iowa State winning the Big 12 meant absolutely nothing because they got the toughest road to hoe getting put into that East region with UConn. Not only did they get put into the region with UConn, they got put in there with Illinois, who you could argue is, I mean, they were the Big Ten champions, one of the toughest three seeds. And they got put in there with Auburn, who just won the SEC, one of the toughest four seeds. So the East region is absolutely stacked. BYU, who's a six seed, you could have made a real argument for them to be a five seed. But because they can't play on Sundays, the committee had to do some finagling with them. So, I mean, the East region is just, it's a death region. Everyone there is solid. It was very difficult. I think that I still believe they got it right. North Carolina at least getting to the ACC championship, despite losing to North Carolina State. I think it warranted them being the last one seed because they outlasted Arizona and Tennessee. But, yeah, I think that you're seeing now the top eight, you know, after the top three, I guess four through eight was very tight. And the fact that North Carolina got the last one seed and Iowa State seemingly got the last two seed just tells you how close all those teams were.
So think about that for a moment. You just mentioned something very interesting when you look at that East region, the death region, if you will. UConn is the number one overall seed in this tournament.
Yeah.
The number one overall seed. Defending national champs are the number one overall seed. And the gift that they get by being the number one overall seed is to be put in the same bracket as the SEC tournament champ, the Big Ten tournament champ, and the Big 12 tournament champ?
Yeah.
How does that work out?
I don't really have an answer for you there, but yeah, that's exactly what they got. And if UConn is going to repeat, man, it is going to be an impressive showing. This is, UConn, what they did last season, coming from where they came, I think they were a five seed last season, and to fight the uphill battle that they did was impressive enough. If they come through here and repeat, you know, you got to take your hat off to them. What an impressive showing that would be. But yeah, it is stacked against them, certainly.
Although they might have gotten a gift, because I saw some of the reaction that I saw online was that everyone being baffled of Florida Atlantic being an 8 seed.
Yeah, probably the, in my opinion, Florida Atlantic was the, they were number two on the list of most overseeded teams. Mm-hmm. Number one being Duquesne, who won the Atlantic 10. They're an 11 seed. They're probably, I don't know. Like if you look at them, Duquesne winning the Atlantic 10, and you look at New Mexico, who's also an 11 seed, New Mexico would be like an 8-point favorite over Duquesne. Like Duquesne is not a good team. They haven't been a good team all year. They just went on a nice run and they won the Atlantic 10 and they got an automatic bid. That doesn't mean you should automatically get an 11 seed. They have, this is a 13, 14 seed quality team. Mm-hmm. And they got an 11, which is very, very generous, which, and that's why, you know, I'll go ahead and we said I won't give out any first round picks, but I'm going to give out one here. I just said BYU probably should have been a 5 seed, but because of their, you know, their rules, they can't play on Sunday, so they're a 6 seed, and they're playing against Duquesne, who's an 11 seed, who should probably be a 12 or 13 seed. You can probably guess which way I'm going there. There's one underseeded team playing against an overseeded team.
Yeah,
look to back BYU in round one, in my opinion.
Well, speaking of first round picks, we are doing a massive two pod week on the Dream Preview podcast feed. So we'll be recording on Tuesday and Wednesday for releases on Wednesday and Thursday. So we're going to have one episode dedicated to all the Thursday games in the first round, and then a second episode dedicated to all the Friday games in the first round. So that's coming up on RJ Bell's Dream Preview podcast feed. And of course, each and every morning here on Straight Outta Vegas AM, on the days of games, we will be giving out plays for that day. So you definitely want to tune into that. The other big story with the brackets, AJ, were the snubs. I mentioned UConn being the number one overall seed. UConn is best team in the country. Marquette is a 2 seed in this tournament in the South region. Creighton is a 3 seed in the Midwest region. And those,
what about
the
fourth
only,
Big East team?
Those are the only 3 teams that the Big East got into the NCAA tournament. One of the biggest snubs, St. John's, and their head coach Rick Pitino had this to say on SNY.
I mean, we're 32 in the net. Well, first of all, I think we all should probably never mention that word again, because I think it's fraudulent. You know, my son was 25 in the net, and he was saying he wasn't in with 25 wins. So I think the Nets something that shouldn't even be mentioned anymore. I think that we had a good strength of schedule. Ken Pom, why mention him? We were 26 in Ken Pom. So I don't know. It's we tried to play a tough schedule. We tried to do things the right way, and we didn't get in. But, you know, I never make excuses. I respect the committee for what they do. They give their time. They give their energy to it. They didn't think that we measured up to their standards, and we'll take it very positively like men and move forward. We're not going to gripe. We're not going to say we got screwed. We're not going to, none of that helps. Bitterness does not help. I've had enough bitterness in my life to last a lifetime.
Well, first off, before I ask you, AJ, to explain the net rating and all that stuff, handling like men, declining an invite to the NIT is what St. John's did. So there will be no postseason basketball for the Johnnies, as they would like to get a jump on next season. I don't know if that's you know, their way of sticking it to the NCAA or not, by not playing in the NIT. But anyway, talk to me about net rating and why this was a snub for St. John's, and why, if you agree or not with Rick Pitino, that all these net ratings, Ken Pom ratings, anything that the committee says is meaningless.
Yeah, I was surprised. And like you, we just heard from Rick Pitino, St. John's wasn't even one of the first four out. Like they weren't, apparently they weren't even close to making the tournament. So that surprised me, certainly. But you know, all of these teams, I think there was a, this was a year where we talked about the bubble being as strong as ever. And the idea that there were so many bids stolen at the end of the year. And that includes Oregon winning the Pac-12. That wasn't supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Duquesne winning the A-10, NC State winning the ACC. That's three off the top of my head. Teams that there was no thought that they were going to be in this tournament, so they weren't supposed to be there, and that took away three bids basically from teams that thought they had a chance to get in. So on the year where there's the strongest bubble ever, there's three teams that got left off of it that probably shouldn't have. And you know, this was a weird year, certainly. I didn't even mention the AAC, because they weren't supposed to be a two bid league either. And UAB beating Temple, UAB winning the AAC, got them and Florida Atlantic in. So there was four teams actually off the top of my head that stole bids. And that was like Providence didn't have a bad loss all year. They beat Creighton, they beat Wisconsin. I think they beat Creighton multiple times. They've got a real gripe, certainly. I think St. John's has a real gripe. There's a lot of teams out there that you could have made a real discussion for, but that's where it gets tough, man. When you get to this point, there's always going to be somebody who gets left out. This year, though, where it was a really tough bubble, St. John's, Oklahoma, Providence, Seton Hall. Like, the idea that the Big East only got three teams is wild to me, because all three of those, I talked about it when we were looking at the Big East tournament. I thought that Seton Hall versus St. John's was literally a play-in game.
Yep.
Like, I thought the winner of that game was going to be in, the loser was going to go home, and I wouldn't have felt bad for either in that scenario. Like, you know, I just thought the loser knew they were going to go home. And so for the winner of that game to also go home, and for Providence on top of that to go home, despite Providence's strong resume that didn't have they didn't really have, like I said, a single bad loss. Very difficult, especially when you see teams like, you know, Virginia getting in. It's mm-hmm. very difficult, and you see teams. You see that the Mountain West, and you know, I'm not complaining, because I won my bet with Fezzik when he said he set the over under at five Mountain West teams, and I said there's going to be six, maybe seven, if UNLV wins the tournament, and there ends up being six because New Mexico won the tournament. But there's six teams from the Mountain West in. Three from the Big East, yeah. That doesn't track. It really doesn't, because the Big East, I mean, you ask anybody who knows ball, the Big East is one of the best basketball leagues in this country. And I know they're like people, because people think of football first, they don't think of the Big East as a power conference, but in basketball, the Big East is 100% a power conference. And the idea that they got three teams in the Mountain West, which, don't get me wrong, is also a very good basketball conference, but the fact that they got double the teams of the Big East, it should really be an eye-opener about what's going on with this, because, you know, Providence and St. John's, in my opinion, both have real gripes here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the thing. I'm also of the belief I don't want 92 teams. I don't want them to blow this tournament up and make it bigger and bigger. If anything, I was pissed off when they made it 68. You know, if you want to make sure you're in, win your conference tournament, you can always say that, don't leave any doubts. So it's hard to feel too bad for these teams, but there's no way to not look at it and go, oh, that doesn't seem right. This team's in, this team's out. That doesn't feel right to me. And when you look at net rating, like, listen, that's one thing I agree with Rick Pitino on. The net rating is a black box. None of us know what none of us know what the criteria is. And that's the thing that bothers me the most, is I'm not going to like sit here and be like, oh, they were this high in the net rating, because the truth is I don't know what the net rating even means. And no one does. Not even these coaches know what the net rating means. And that's a difficult thing when that seems to be such a big factor in the committee's decision, for no one to understand exactly what you have to do in the net. It's a really difficult thing to figure out. So I don't know. I don't know. I really think that should be exposed. Like, that should be widely known what the criteria is for the net, so teams can play to it. I know for a fact that they care about margin of victory. So you see some of these teams late in the season trying to get blowout wins when they don't need to get blowout wins. And you're like, why are they doing that? Because they want to make sure they get in the tournament. They want to make sure they're seeded as highly as they can be. But I wish
you knew. Why did St. John's win? Like, they won like their last six straight and like five of them by 14 or more points. It's like they did what the net rating wanted them to do. They blew out teams.
Yeah, you're right. And the truth is, like, for St. John's, this was a team that I actually personally took a bet on them not to make the tournament. And this was like the middle of February. I was like, oh, they're falling apart. I thought that bet was dead. They won six games in a row. They beat Creighton. When they won that game against Seton Hall, I said, oh, well, that's dead. And then they really competed against Connecticut in the Big East tournament and like gave them hell. And I was like, oh, they're going to for sure put St. John's in. But they decided, man, this was a team that lost 8 out of 10 games at one point in the season. And, you know, one of their two wins in that time was against DePaul, which I've said all season long, those wins don't count when you're a Big East team. This was a team that had a good run to start the season, a terrible run in the middle, and a great run to finish the season. And they said, that's not enough. So it's unfortunate, but I also will say this. I don't like it when these teams say, oh, we're not going to play in the NIT. We're not going to play in the CBI. Like, go prove everybody wrong. You know, like, and especially
give your
when
fans something to cheer about, you know?
Yeah. And when you've got seniors, let them go play, let them have a couple more games. Like, don't let them go out on a loss in the Big East tournament. Like, give them a chance to raise some kind of trophy. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. But I don't know what the win is by saying no to the NIT. It's, and especially for a team like St. John's, who wasn't apparently by the NCAA, wasn't just barely snubbed. They weren't one of the four teams that were snubbed the hardest. So that should tell you something.
Yeah, well, St. John's, Oklahoma, and Pitt all declined NIT invitations.
I don't like it.
Yeah, Rick Pitino said, quote, after thorough consideration of all that goes into postseason participation, we believe at this time it is best for our team and basketball program to prepare for next season.
I wonder if they take a team vote or what. Maybe. I can't imagine the players say, yeah, I want to be done. I can't picture that world. I can't picture a competitive athlete saying, no, I'm not going to play anymore.
I don't want to play. Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. You never know. I wanted to go over the odds to win each region as they stand right now. And maybe, AJ, you can, you know, off the top of your head, say, what do you think is a good value play? You know, we'll go anybody other than the favorites. How about that? I want you to give me one pick that is not the favorite. So here's the odds in the East region. UConn is the favorite at plus 110. Iowa State is plus 400. Auburn plus 500. Illinois plus 800. BYU 13-1. San Diego State 19-1.
If I'm picking a non-UConn team, I think Illinois is the team I want to look at because their ceiling is as high as anybody's, and you saw it in the Big Ten tournament. Terrence Shannon Jr. is one of, if not the best player in the country, and this is a guy who's been around for years. Like, you don't get many seniors who are this good at, you know, like, most of these guys are gone to the NBA by now. He's an incredibly difficult guard one-on-one. I think he set the record this, like, in this tournament for most points scored in a Big Ten tournament game in history. I mean, you think about all the players that have been in the Big Ten, like, that says something. Illinois is a frustrating team. Brad Underwood is a frustrating coach from a tournament standpoint, but you know what? You could have said that same thing about Danny Hurley before last season. At some point, these guys generally break through. Illinois has the talent to compete with anybody in the country. They've just got to put it together on any given night. If I'm looking for a team with upside, Illinois is the kind of team that I like because they've got great guard play. I do think they're well coached and they've got like NBA type talent. They're a team who I think if they get hot, they're going to be very difficult to stop.
All right. Moving on to the South, Houston is your plus 140 favorite. Up next, Marquette at 5-1, Duke plus 550, Kentucky plus 850, Wisconsin 12-1, Florida 12-1.
This is a tough one for me because, like, we talked about how difficult UConn's region is. And when you think about, I mean, UConn could potentially play in their second round game and their third round game. They could play teams that were in the Final Four last season. Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, three of the Final Four teams from last year, are in that East region. Houston did not get a very difficult path. Fortunately for them, all of those teams that you mentioned have big flaws. And I guess it boils down to Marquette or Kentucky. Marquette is, there's so many question marks because you don't know the health of Tyler Kolek. I've said this before. If Tyler Kolek is healthy, you know, he's one of the five or six best players in the country. He's a real problem. I don't know what his health situation is. I do know Kentucky is a team that has tons of shooters and great guard play, great NBA talent, and a coach who's been there and done that. I guess if I was looking for a non-Houston team, it'd have to be one of those. Gun to my head, I'd probably say Kentucky's the one.
Okay, Kentucky plus 850. And by the way, the Illinois play was 8-1. To the Midwest we go. Purdue, a plus 175 favorite. Tennessee, plus 310 is next. Creighton, 5-1. Kansas, plus 750. Gonzaga, 10-1. Texas, 17-1.
Yeah, I'll go with Tennessee here. I've said, but this is another situation, much like in the East region. I love everything about this Tennessee team, except for the fact that Rick Barnes has a history of being a dud in the tournament. And now that it helps that they're in Purdue's region, where Matt Painter also has a very long history of being a dud in the tournament. And Creighton, history of being a dud in the tournament. Gonzaga, history of underperforming in the tournament. There's one team in this region that has had consistent success in the tournament, and that's Kansas, and man, they are hobbled right now, so I can't trust them. I think I'd have to look at this Tennessee team, who is elite defensively, and on a good night is elite offensively. On a bad night, is very dependent on one guy in Dalton Connect. But they've got their path seems very laid out. St. Peter's, there's going to be a lot of love for St. Peter's because that's a team that a couple years ago made a run. This is not that same St. Peter's team. They'd match up a second round against a Texas team that is very talented. But, I mean, Rick Barnes would be playing chess against a checkers master in Rodney Terry. And, again, a question mark about Creighton come tournament time. So Tennessee seems like the most talented non-Purdue team in this bracket by far, especially given Kansas's health. Tennessee's the team I would look at.
I would love to see a Creighton-Purdue matchup, though, just to see Edie against Kalkbrenner.
Oh, I'd love it.
That would be so cool. All right, so we got Tennessee plus 310. In the West region, Arizona is your favorite at plus 260. North Carolina plus 350. Baylor plus 650. Alabama plus 650. St. Mary's 10-1. Michigan State 12-1.
I mean, anytime you've got the one seed who's not favored, it seems like that's a team to look at. I know Arizona's getting a lot of love, but Arizona's lost a lot of games against teams they shouldn't be losing to. And that worries me. Like, bad losses scare me off. And I said it in the Pac-12 tournament. Arizona was minus 155 going into that tournament. I said, I cannot lay minus money with a team that I know has a propensity to lose games against teams they've got no business losing against. And I think that's what we've got here. We've got a team in Arizona who really is not warranted being this huge of a favorite. And I think the interesting thing about Arizona potentially matching up against North Carolina, if it were to get to that one versus two, is this would be the Caleb Love match, where Caleb Love played with North Carolina, and now he's at Arizona. But Caleb Love is one of these guys. If Arizona is up by 10, 15 points in a game, Caleb Love is great. If Arizona is ever down, Caleb Love's going to turn into a chucker, and I think he's going to cost them a game. He's a poor decision maker when they're down. I don't trust him when they're down. This team's got a lot of experience between Love and Balo and Pelle Larsen. Keyshawn Johnson, they've got a lot of senior guys who normally those are the teams you can trust, but this is also a guy in Tommy Lloyd who has as great as he's been in the regular season, has kind of underperformed in the postseason. I don't know that I trust him. I think I'm going to have to go with North Carolina here and say that they're probably the best value just because they're a one seed and they're not favored to win their region.
All right, North Carolina plus 350. Keep it locked right here for continuing coverage of the NCAA tournament. And again, another reminder that coming up Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we'll have the dream preview of the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, one podcast for the Thursday games, one podcast for the Friday games. And then every morning here on Straight Out of Vegas AM, picks and plays and thoughts for every game or the biggest games or the biggest leans and picks for the NCAA tournament. Your March Madness Central right here on Straight Out of Vegas and RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Kyrie Irving had the highlight reel play of the day in the NBA, AJ, a Magic-esque sky hook. It was like a lefty hook runner, whatever, as the Mavericks at the buzzer beat the Nuggets 107-105. Luka had 37 points and 10 boards. Just a ridiculous lefty shot by Kyrie there at the buzzer. Elsewhere, the Bucks without Giannis defeated the Suns 140-129. Lillard scored 31 points. The Heat, a 104-101 win over the Pistons. The Magic topped the Raptors, 111-96. Celtics, a 130-104 win over the Wizards. Jason Tatum, 30 points. In overtime, the Spurs beat the Nets, 122-115. Victor Wembanyama, 33 points, 15 boards, 7 dimes.
Yeah, and this was in Austin, Texas. So this was it wasn't even a real home game for the Spurs. But Austin seemed to love the Spurs. Got a good crowd reaction. And Wembanyama is becoming a bona fide star. Like, everybody who sees this guy is wowed by him. I've talked to a couple people who've seen him in person, and they're like, it's unbelievable. Like, you can't believe that a guy this size is able to do what he does. So, I mean, we all knew when the Spurs made this pick, they knew there was no question who was going to be the guy. I don't know if people thought that he would be this good, this impactful, this early. If he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the biggest stars in the NBA in the next year or two. This guy is the real deal, no doubt.
All right, one other final from yesterday was the Hawks over the Clippers, 110-93. Here's your schedule for tonight. The Cavs are at the Pacers, Indy 7.5-point favorites. Pistons visit the Celtics, Boston laying 16.5. Heat are at the Sixers, Philly 1.5-point favorites. Blazers at the Bulls, Chicago laying 7.5. Timberwolves are at the Jazz, Minnesota's 8.5-point road favorites. The Knicks visit the Warriors, Golden State 4.5-point favorites. Total 213.5, AJ. I think we're going to continue to ride the Knicks under streak here, even against Steph and the Warriors. So give me the under 213.5 in the Knicks-Warriors game. Grizzlies take on the Kings, Sacramento. Yep. Sacktown -9.5, and the Hawks visit the Lakers, L.A. -8.5. Hockey yesterday, the Rangers beat the Islanders 5-2, and defenseman Ryan Lindgren had to leave the game with a leg injury. No update on his status for New York. The Golden Knights defeated the Devils 3-1. Hurricanes dominate the Senators 7-2. Penguins a 6-3 win over the Red Wings. The Jets a 6-1 rout over the Blue Jackets. Blackhawks beat the Sharks 5-2, and the Blues doubled up the Ducks 4-2. On the schedule for tonight, just two games. Capitals are at the Flames. Calgary -135. Sabres at the Kraken. Seattle is -120. Updating the playoff standings as we are coming down to the wire here in the NHL season. We got about, 13 games left in the regular season for most teams. Some have 14, some have 15, but this is the home stretch here. Your battle for wild card spots in the East right now. Tampa and Detroit are your wild card teams with 78 and 74 points. Washington is up next with 73, as are the Islanders with 73. In the Western Conference, battles for the wild card, you have the Golden Knights and Nashville, 82 and 79. Nashville, by the way, is 12-0-2 in their last 14 games. It's insane. 8-0-2 in their last 10. They haven't even been like trailing in regulation. That's how good Nashville has been, as they are, they're trying to lock up a playoff spot here. They have the first wild card with 82 points. The Blues have 75 points. They're 4 points back of the Knights. The Wild, 74 points. Flames, still there, 71. Seattle, 68. So teams are fighting here. It's going to get fun here down the stretch of the NHL season. Wild finish out on the golf course, AJ. The Players' Championship, the fifth major, as it's often referred to, goes to Scottie Scheffler for the second year in a row. In fact, Scheffler becomes the first repeat champion at the Players' Championship ever. This was the 50th version, right? 49 years, We have not had a repeat winner.
I remember the year I won. I had a real hard time in the year after that. So it was
exactly. Me too.
It's very difficult.
Yes. We're talking about Golden Tee, right? You know, where we roll the ball to hit. No?
Yeah, yeah. I was talking about Tiger Woods on PlayStation.
Oh, okay. Golden Tee is the better version. Scottie Scheffler, he became the first back-to-back winner at TPC Sawgrass, winning the Players' Championship. And he had to do it sitting and waiting and watching. So he had an incredible final round, right? Like he shot 20 under for the tournament. And he had an 8-under 64 in the final round. That's an incredible final round. But sure. He's sitting there, and there's three other golfers with a chance to essentially tie him at the end. So he goes out to the driving range, and he's like practicing, getting ready for a playoff. And all of a sudden, he hears the groans of the crowd, which happened when Wyndham Clark missed a birdie putt that lipped out and was not able to force a playoff. And so Scheffler wins. Clark had a 4-shot lead going into the final round and just missed that putt there at the end for birdie. And so
don't call that a melt, Scott.
Yeah. Scheffler becomes the fourth player ever in the Players' Championship to shoot 65 or better in the final round. Just an incredible final round out of him, and congratulations, the first back-to-back winner at the Players' Championship, world number one, Scottie Scheffler. You can be number one as well. Go by going to pregame.com and maybe participate in our March Madness contests. We have bracket contests that you can go there and make your picks during the NCAA tournament and try to win the most units, and we're giving out prizes to tops and second and third and fourth through 10th. And there's lots of chances to win bulk dollars at pregame.com by entering the March Madness contest. Just click on contests at pregame.com. But also, you can use our promo code March20. March20 will get you 20% off any purchase at pregame.com. And that includes the special March Madness All Access Package. The March Madness All Access Package from your favorite pregame pro. I suggest AJ Hoffman because all he does is win in college basketball. What is it, 90-something units? 80-something units?
No, it's rough weekend for your boy.
Rough weekend? Okay, so it's only 70, 75 units?
Yeah, we're in the 70s, yeah.
Sheesh. I had a rough weekend. I'm still up 75 units in college basketball season. To understand, people don't win 75 units in their lifetime betting college basketball. Forget about one season. Anyway, you can get every single pick from AJ Hoffman for the entire duration of March Madness by getting the March Madness All Access Package at pregame.com. And you can take 20% off that purchase by using the promo code March20. Only available at pregame.com. For AJ Hoffman, I'm Scott Seidenberg. We are Straight Out of Vegas. AM.